Welcome everybody to Christian Family on Christ Mission, a sub-ministry of NAU-UBF. It's March 25th today, and we're going to go on to Lesson 9 of our study of Judges. That is Judges chapter 7, verses 1 to 25. The Lord saves, trust the Lord and obey Him. Before we begin, I'd like to read the verses. Chapter 7, verses 1 to 25. Here we go. Early in the morning, Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all his men camped at the spring of Herod. The camp of Midian was north of them, in the valley near the hill of Moreh. The Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many men for me to deliver Midian into their hands, in order that Israel may not boast against me that her own strength has saved her. Announce now to all the people, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead." So 22,000 men left, while 10,000 remained. The Lord said to Gideon, "There are still too many men. Take them down to the water, and I will sift them for you there. If I say, 'This one shall go with you,' he shall go. But if I say, 'This one shall not go with you,' he shall not go." So Gideon took the men down to the water. There the Lord told him, "Separate those who lap the water with their tongues like a dog from those who kneel down to drink." 300 men lapped with their hands to their mouths. All the rest got down on their knees to drink. The Lord said to Gideon, "With the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the other men go, each to his own place." So Gideon sent the rest of the Israelites to their tents, but kept 300 who took over the provisions and trumpets of the others. Now the camp of Midian lay below him in the valley. During that night, the Lord said to Gideon, "Get up, go down into the camp, because I'm going to give it into your hands. If you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Purah, and listen to what they are saying. Afterwards, you will be encouraged to attack the camp." So he and Purah, his servant, went down to the outposts of the camp. The Midianites, the Amalekites, and all the other eastern peoples had settled in the valley, thick as locusts. Their camels could no more be counted than the sand on the seashore. Gideon arrived just as the man was telling a friend his dream. "I had a dream," he was saying. "A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midian camp. It struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed." His friend responded, "This can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into his hands." When Gideon heard the dream and the interpretation, he worshipped God. He returned to the camp of Israel and called out, "Get up! The Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands." Dividing the 300 men into three companies, he placed trumpets and empty jars in the hands of all of them with torches inside. "Watch me," he told them. "Follow my lead. When I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do. When I and all who are with me blow our trumpets, then from all around the camp, blow yours and shout, 'For the Lord and for Gideon.'" Gideon and the hundred men with him reached the edge of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just after they changed the guard. They blew their trumpets, broke the jars that were in their hands. The three companies below blew their trumpets and smashed the jars, grasping the torches in their left hands and holding in their right hand the trumpets they were to blow. They shouted, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." While each man held his position around the camp, all the Midianites ran, crying out as they fled. When the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with their swords. The armies fled to Beth Shitta, towards Zechariah, as far as the border of Abel Meholah, near Tabith. Israelites from Naphtali, Asher, and all Manasseh were called out, and they pursued the Midianites. Gideon sent messengers throughout the hill country of Ephraim, saying, "Come down against the Midianites and seize the waters of the Jordan ahead of them as far as Beth Bara." So all the men of Ephraim were called out, and they took the waters of the Jordan as far as Beth Bara. They also captured men of the Midianite leaders, Oreb and Zeeb. They killed Oreb at the rock of Oreb, and Zeeb at the winepress of Zeeb. They pursued the Midianites and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeeb to Gideon, who was by the Jordan. That was from the 1984 edition of the NIV Bible.
Be the glory, great things He has done. So loved He the world that He gave us His. the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
And now my daughter Jennifer will do a special song. Jennifer, for that lovely song. I will listen to that song over and over again when I click on to ChristianFamilyInChristMission.com.
Yeah.
Okay. So today we're going to continue on with our judges and heading into Easter. This is not an Easter passage, but after today's lesson, we're going to get into Easter. So before we begin, I'd like to say a word of prayer, okay? Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for our study of Judges. Thank you for planting faith in our hearts, faith that overcomes all adverse situations, all troubles, all hardships, overcomes our sinful nature, and gives us victory in our lives. Thank you for Jesus who died and rose again and is coming in clouds of glory. Jesus, this gospel brings victory. This gospel builds faith. Help us to hold on to Jesus as we live by faith as servants of God in this generation. Open our hearts today to the Word of God, and I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today I don't have a PowerPoint. I reached my human limitations.
All right. So
keep your Bibles opened and be ready to read. Please read with your hearts when you're called upon, because this is going out on where? That's right. Okay. Today's lesson is called The Lord Saves. Trust the Lord and obey Him. And the key verse is verse 7a. Let's read that all together, okay? The Lord said to Gideon, with the 300 men that left, I will save you and give you Midianites into your hands. In this passage, we find Gideon responding to God's call. The laying out of fleece strengthened and encouraged him to rally his people to stand up and drive out the 135,000 Midianite raiders and their associates. The Lord understood the people's fear and helped them to overcome their fears and go forth into the battle full of faith and assurance in God's deliverance. God wanted to plant faith in the people, not just to win a victory, but to glorify His name. So by faith, Gideon and his 300 men obeyed the Lord and won a great victory. Through the study of this passage, may we overcome fear that permeates our society and our hearts and learn to live by faith. And may we learn to depend on God, not in our own limited human abilities. And may we learn how we can give glory to God through all the difficult situations and that we experience both outwardly and inwardly. Part 1, the original 300 men of faith. There were 135,000 Midianite raiders plundering the land and stripping the crops and polluting. Sounds horrible, doesn't it? They were terrorizing the people of Israel. Up to this time, Gideon served his role well as a farmer, struggling to provide for the needs of his people and his family, threshing wheat in the wine press in order to avoid handing it over to the raiders. But he did not stand up to them, nor rally his people to resist them and drive them out. But after God called him and confirmed his calling through the putting out of the fleece, Gideon found strength and inspiration from the Spirit of God. His people were inspired by his leadership and they rallied around him and gained courage to face their oppressors. Once God's will was confirmed, Gideon wasted no time in getting to the task at hand. Look at verse 1. Let's read verse 1 together, okay? Early in the morning, Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all his men camped at the spring of Herod. The camp of Midian was north of them in the valley near the hill of Moreh. Whenever we see early in the morning in the Bible, it means that that person did not hesitate. That person did not hesitate. Gideon was not one to linger while the enemy got away or got a foothold. This attitude is found throughout the Bible in the hearts of those who have been called to serve God's purpose in their generation. Yes, there are exceptions, but most got up early in the morning. So do not hesitate, nor linger to obey the will of God. Follow the Lord when He calls you. The Lord was also concerned about faith being exercised and His name being glorified in battle. Look at verse 2. Augustine, can you read verse 2 for us?
Yes. The Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many men for me to deliver Midian into their hands. In order that Israel may not boast against me that their own strength has saved her."
Thank you so much, Augustine. The Lord was concerned about how many warriors they had. They were to send them the people that were not other than the 300 away. There was a spiritual pitfall that God was protecting them from. Look at verse 2b again. Israel would boast against me, "My own strength has saved me." My own strength has saved me. People tend to look at their own skills, strength, and abilities. And if they achieve something in this world, they are tempted to say, "Well, that wasn't God. My own strength has saved me." Do you see the danger? We can depend on ourselves and not on God, becoming proud. We think that nothing is impossible to achieve if we are given enough time and resources. Extend this way of thinking from the individual to the masses. Humanity tends to think that they could even eradicate disease like cancer and extend our lives to 200 years on this planet. Do you want to live to 200 years old?
No.
I want to go to heaven in God's right time. And they can even, given the right amount of time and resources, create utopia on planet Earth. This is called humanism. Humanism. In the last presidential election, the Democratic mantra was,
Yes, we can.
But after 4 years,
no, we can't.
It's revealed, no, we couldn't.
Not
yet. I don't know when. We can't, but God can. Humanism has no place for God. It takes all the glory and honor that should be given to God and gives it to mankind. But through this passage, we learn that God works through thrusting us into situations that are beyond our human abilities. We always have to leave God room in our lives. God room. If you read the book by Franklin Graham in his autobiography, Rebel with a Cause, he states that God room is when you embrace the immense task that God has put before you, and you try your best to accomplish it with all your strength and resources, and yet it is not enough. It is then that you have to pray and trust God and step out in faith and obedience, and then you will see God working. That's God leaving God room. The problem is that we have such great human abilities, but we only embrace what we know that we can accomplish without God. Then God is not glorified in our lives. We are glorified instead. No, and when we fail to experience the power of God, because you're always experiencing your own power. We must seek to make God room in our lives and ministry by embracing the great will of God for us, beyond our human abilities. For me, establishing a Christian ministry based on one-to-one Bible study and discipleship raising is a task beyond my human abilities. Beyond all of our abilities, actually. But God wants to work through us to reveal His glory. When we are weak, God is strong. When we are helpless and depend on God, then God can do great things through us and we can experience His power. Jesus must be advertised in our lives and not ourselves. And so God began to help Gideon glorify the Lord. Look at verses 5 to 7. Hope, can you read that for us? 5 to 7.
I can. So Gideon took the men down to the water. There the Lord told him, "Separate those who lapped the water with their tongues like a dog from those who kneel down to drink." 300 men lapped with their hands to their mouth. All the rest got down on their knees to drink. The Lord said to Gideon, "With the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the other men go, each to his own place."
Thank you, Hope. So what impression do you get from these people? The people that were lapping like a dog. In a
Holy Spirit in them to conquer any
They're quite vulnerable to attacks that could happen when they're drinking. Because like if the people who had their hands up to their faces, they were like looking around to see if anybody was like going to attack them, they were alert. But the people who are lapping like dogs,
you're getting the point. Actually, the people who are lapping like dogs out of the cup of their hands are the ones that were chosen, actually.
Yes.
So they knelt down by the river's edge, always wary of the enemy's presence. They cupped the water in their hands. They knelt down, they cupped the water in their hands. They lapped like dogs. And they let nothing get in their line of vision, looking for the enemy who could possibly pounce on them or attack or ambush them. They were prepared people with a heightened sense of alertness. That's the 300. The Bible teaches us that we should always be spiritually alert. The fact is that the devil is prowling around like a roaring lion waiting to pounce on somebody to devour him. We should never be overconfident in ourselves lest we fall. To be vigilant all of the time is a good thing. It's necessary, but it's not always possible to be vigilant all the time. In our struggle against sin and our vigilance to follow Jesus, we most often falter. How many times have you actually said, "I don't care anymore. I don't care what happens to me anymore." I've said that a few times in my life. But thank God that when we are not vigilant, Jesus is vigilant for us. He is with us 24/7. He is our strong tower. He prays for us before the throne of the Father. He dwells in us by His Holy Spirit as we live by faith. God also sends us His angels to show us that He is with us. What about Jacob when he was about to meet Esau, his brother? He was so afraid. God opened up his eyes so he can see that the camp of angels there with him. And we can also see this with Elijah and Elisha. They saw the angels of God encircled around them in 2 Kings 6:17. The point I'm making is that God is with us. When we are faltering and giving into sin in this world, sure, we have to repent and again live by faith and start again. But Jesus is our strong tower and He will help us to stand and be vigilant. God chose 300 men who met His criteria. Look at verse 7. Let's read that all together, okay? The Lord said to Gideon, "With the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the other men go, each to his own place." Here's a little side note. These were the original 300. Gideon ruled as a judge from 1146 to 1106 BC. That's before Jesus. 1,000 years. 1,100 years before Jesus was born. The recent movie 300 depicted the events of the Battle of Thermopylae, which was fought between an alliance of Greek city-states, Sparta, and the Persian Empire over a course of 3 days during the second Persian invasion of Greece in 480 BC. So, you saw the movie. This battle in the Bible took place at 1146 BC, approximately. So this passage in the book of Judges may very well have been the inspiration of the king of Sparta to choose 300 men to fight the Persians. So it shows you how important the Bible is in history. They might have been obeying the Bible. Because this story was around. So I don't know. I don't know if you can prove that, but anyway, it shows you how important that the Bible is. So what a privilege and an honor it is to be counted among the 300. It's such a great honor to be chosen by God. 1 Peter 2:9 says that we are a chosen people, a people belonging to God, a royal priesthood. Chosen by God. Jesus once said to His disciples, "You did not choose me, but I chose you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." Who are we that we should be called servants of God? In this world, without Jesus, we feel insignificant. Our lives are like a puff of smoke, here today and gone tomorrow. On my own, I can only be an ultra-ordinary man with ultra-ordinary hopes and dreams, struggling with my sins, surviving in a merciless world that only has smiles upon me when I have money. That would literally be my reality outside of Jesus. But in Jesus, we are special people of God, servants of Christ, chosen by God to fight the spiritual battle alongside our Commander-in-Chief, Jesus Christ. So what an honor and privilege it is to be chosen by God in the Lord's army for the battle. We're not puffs of smoke or grains of sand or nameless star in the sky. So look at verse 7 again. The Lord said to Gideon, "With the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the others go home." 31,700 people went home. Okay? It's okay that the others went home. Even though they were not required to fight on the front lines of the spiritual battle, they were still essential in the work of God while living on the home front. They would go home, protect their villages and their cities. They would have to take care of the widows and orphans left behind by those killed in battle. And they would prepare and send supplies to the front lines. Most importantly, they would pray. Later on, they would be called upon to pursue a fleeing enemy, which they did. These people, these 31,000 that were sent home, were no less important. The armies of the Lord need both kinds of servants, people on the front lines and people on the home front. It's still the same today. There are missionaries, okay? There are missionaries on the front lines. It takes a special type of person, very disciplined, very focused, a person who could, for example, do daily devotionals and pray every day, who can step out and talk about Jesus and the gospel every day to somebody, who could put up with many kinds of hardships and difficulties. There's, you know, not everybody can do that. And that's okay. Some people on the front lines, some people on the home front. We all make up the Lord's army. God has an important role for all of us. When we are in Christ, we are not just a missing part. In the movie Hugo, the mechanical robot needed a needed part. Many needed parts. And a key to operate. Hugo was always looking for the right pieces to fix the robot. The principle of the story is that each person is necessary. He did not want to be a useless part, nor did he want the old man to see himself as a useless part. We are all useful parts in Jesus. So don't think that you're a useless part, because God needs you. So part two, God gives his people victory over fear and their enemies. God helped Gideon and his men to overcome their fears. Look at verse 8b to 9, starting with now. Jennifer, can you read that for us? 8b to 9. Yes, you can.
The camp of Midian lay below him in the valley. During that night, the Lord said to Gideon, "Get up, go down against the camp, because I'm going to give it into your hands."
Thank you. Yes, you can. Gideon was worried about fighting the Midianite horde with only 300 men, and who could blame him? Okay, he was fearful. He was a human being. God sent him to the enemy camp to learn faith. He told Gideon to send the fearful men home, yes. And he chose the 300, and God was helping him in many ways. First of all, he planted a promise in his heart. 9b says, "The Lord said to Gideon, 'Get up, go down into the camp, because I'm giving it into your hands.'" God's command is always accompanied with a promise. You know, get up and go. Promise, I'm giving it into your hands. You see it? The command and the promise. God is assuring Gideon a victory even before the battle. Jesus gives us many commands, actually. Three of the greatest commands is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbors yourself. That's a good command. It's from the Old Testament. Jesus repeated it. Another command is for his disciples to love one another. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And what's the promise there?
Surely I
that all the world may know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Okay? And the world mission command, therefore go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. The promise? Surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. The command and the promise. So God strengthens our hearts with his promise. After Gideon's heart was calmed, God helped him again to overcome his fear. And Gideon responded. He took the lead. Look at verse 17. "Watch me," he told him. "Follow my lead. When I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do." A good leader sets the example. He encourages others to follow as he takes the lead. He is willing to go to the edge of the enemy camp, where there is danger, where no one else is gone. Was he fearful? Yes, he was, but he was standing up as a servant of God, depending on the Lord. He reflects Jesus Christ. Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep and takes the lead. John 10:4 reads, "When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice." Jesus goes on ahead of the flock of God. He's full of courage. He took the lead. He preached the truth. He stood up in the face of incredible opposition. even though he was despised and rejected by his own people, he remained true to the way of the cross. He lived a sacrificial life of love and service, always true to the way of the cross, and through his suffering, death, and resurrection, he went ahead of us in every sense of the word. So Gideon's reflecting Jesus. Jesus led the way to the kingdom of heaven. He bore in his body all the suffering that we are due because of our sins, and he showed us the heart and mind of the Father so that we may know the way to think, to act, to love, to serve, and to hope. He shows us the way to enter the kingdom of heaven. We must follow Jesus, who went ahead of us in this way, as our leader. We can also learn Gideon's leadership. He was not one to let others do all the hard work and dangerous work. He set the example and took the lead. So that's true leadership. There we go. Management 101. God gave him wisdom. But what God was asking him to do made no sense at all. 300 people against 135,000. Does that make any sense to you? Only if you had an atomic bomb. No matter how skilled they were as warriors, they could never defeat, you know, these people. So what sense did it make to have both hands of each man filled with a torch and a clay jar and no sword in their hands? What sense did it make to have them stand there and yell, simply holding a torch and not even drawing a weapon? And such small numbers. It made no sense. But from God's point of view, it made perfect sense, and it was the way to assured victory. God works this way. I tasted victory in my student life and in my spiritual life when I obeyed God's way. That did not make sense at first. I was a student shepherd. I participated in every aspect of ministry while serving Jesus in Winnipeg and at Triton. And life in ministry took a lot of time and effort, and I was pressed to complete readings for nursing studies. But God blessed me, and I can get my bachelor's degree and a career that is recession-proof, providing me with a good income, exercise, and a clean environment, and lots of opportunities for ministry, and the good counsel of dozens of Christian women. Yeah, Christian nurses counseling me about everything. And so I received wisdom with my... Also marriage and family. Julie and I met through the prayers and introduction by two pastors. After praying, we married and dedicated our family to serving Jesus Christ. Yeah. Does that make sense to you?
No.
That was 20 years ago. The way we got married did not make sense in the eyes of the world, but it was God's wise way and a great victory in our lives. Having a family with five kids did not make any sense nowadays. Some people told us not to. We were poor. But by faith, we had a large family, trusting that God would provide. We decided to live on love. The love of God. And God blessed us. It did not make sense in the eyes of the world, but I consider the family that God has given us a great victory and a great testimony. Recently, God has given me great victory over my spiritual enemies of depression, pessimism, anger, etc. And through the gospel, through coming to Jesus through receiving healing through the Word of God, you know. Most people say, well, that wouldn't make sense. You know, you should just go on a long vacation to Hawaii and forget about everything. But coming to Jesus and finding healing through the gospel and the Word of God makes perfect sense from God's point of view, and I won the victory. God also confirmed his presence through helping Gideon hear the dreams of others. Look at verses 12 to 15. Who could read 12 to 15 for us? Sarah? Okay, here we go. Get ready.
The Midianites, the Amalekites, and all the other eastern peoples had settled in the valley thick as locusts. Their camels could no more be counted than the sand on the seashore. Gideon arrived just as a man was telling his friend his dream. I had a dream, he was saying. A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midianite camp. It struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed. His friend responded, "This can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into his hands." When Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he worshipped God. He returned to the camp of Israel and called out, "Get up, the Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands."
Well, thank you so much. All right. God led Gideon to slip into the enemy camp and overhear the conversation that would bring him courage. An enemy soldier dreamt of a loaf of barley bread tumbling into the camp. This dream was a prophetic statement from God concerning what he was going to accomplish through these 300 warriors. Barley was half the value of wheat, so bread made of barley was considered inferior. Also, tumbling bread should not have enough momentum to bring down a durable military tent. In the same way, Israel's band of 300 men was considered inferior to the forces of Midian and weak. But God would make the underdog invincible and give the underdog victory. That's the barley loaf knocking down a tent. Prophecy. We can see the outcome of the strengthening of Gideon's heart in verses 19 to 22. Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the end of the camp at the beginning of the middle of the watch, just after they had changed the guard. They blew their trumpets and broke the jars that were in their hands. The three companies blew the trumpets and smashed the jars, grasping the torches in their left hand and holding onto the right hands the trumpets they were to blow. They shouted, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon!" While each man held his position around the camp, all the Midianites ran, crying out as they fled. When the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other and their swords. The army fled to Beth Shittah towards Zerah, as far as the border of Abel Maholah, near Tabith. There we go. The men approached the edge of the camp. Each of them held a clay jar and a torch. While behind rocks and ridges, they quickly lit the torches and in unison covered them with the clay jars and stepped out in front of out of the ridges and the rocks, and they broke the pots, hiding the light of the torches, and they yelled out. Ready? Everyone yell out just like them.
A sword for the Lord and for Gideon.
Again.
A sword for the Lord and for Gideon.
I'm not sure what weapons they had. Maybe none. But they had faith to stand. Each man held their positions around the camp. It's not easy to hold your position. In the movie Master Commander, did anyone see that movie?
Yeah. No.
They were fighting a superior French ship, and they were they disguised themselves as a whaling vessel, and they were creeping closer and closer, and they were bringing up beside their guns, and they were saying, "Hold, hold, hold, hold," and then finally, when they got close enough, fire. And they were so full of fear, but they won the great victory. Most people would be shaking in their boots and ready to run. Yes, they were scared. They were human, but they were men of faith, and they overcame and held their position. This took courage, but unless each of them held their position, they could not win the victory over the enemy. God has called us to hold our position. Each of us has a position in the work of God. What is your position? Well, Jen and Augie, they sing praise and worship. I preach, Mark does readings, Hope and Sarah pray, play the piano, Steve shares his testimony, James provides IT equipment to our ministry, Julie's our general manager, we all have Steve prepares his testimonies and shares, Hope and the prayer, PowerPoint, we all have our positions, and we must hold our positions. When we cannot hold our position, Jesus is there to help us hold it. When they did this by faith, God gave them a victory, and God will give us a victory if we hold, hold, hold. Don't give up. Don't leave your position. It was about 10 p.m. The Midianite army never expected such an assault by inferior numbers. And they heard the breaking of the clay pots and the flaring of the torches and the yelling of the men. They were in shock. They were surrounded. They were overwhelmed. They turned on each other. There could have been loose alliances among them of different tribes. Some groups may have felt that they were about to lose the battle against the Israelites and turncoat. That means they switched sides. They were confused. They were switching sides. They were fighting each other. And this Gideon's army simply watched as the army of Midian fell into panic and confusion and a disordered retreat. Not one man had to draw a sword to defeat the enemy. Gideon's army could never have brought about such a victory on their own strength. God wanted to demonstrate that victory depends not on strength in numbers, but on obedience, faith, and commitment to God. Obedience, faith, and commitment to God. So God wants us, in conclusion, God wants us to experience faith. And He wants us to give glory to Jesus' name. Not to our own strength. We can use our abilities. God gives us our talents, and God can work through them. But the problem is trusting in them and not giving glory to God, not leaving God room in your life, embracing too little, so that, yeah, you can do it in your own strength. But we have to experience God's power. We have to advertise Jesus. God will always encourage us through His promises, through His presence, through encouraging words from others. When we obey and trust in Him, even if it doesn't make sense. Like this battle didn't make any sense. They didn't even draw a sword. They won the victory. Trust and obey the Lord. Let's read our key verse together. Verse 7a. Okay. The Lord said to Gideon, 300 men that laughed, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let's pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you for showing us the importance of glorifying God and experiencing faith. Lord, so often we just want to depend on our own human strength, embracing too little, leaving no way to advertise Christ in our lives and the power of faith. But help us to reveal Jesus' glory. Help us to not be fearful, but to hold firm, to keep our position, and to do things by faith, stepping out of our comfort zones, and trusting and obeying you, Lord, and seeing the great victory. And forgive us for just only doing what makes sense sometimes. But help us to follow Jesus and the way of faith, and really experience you, Lord, and grow as servants of God in this generation. And I thank you for this time, and I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's time for prayer topics and announcements.
Is it?
Yes. And today we learned some important lessons. I'm saying it again and again, but basically God wants you to experience faith and be glorified through your life. Okay, and He doesn't want you falling in the spiritual pitfall of giving all the glory to yourself. So, embrace the big thing. Embrace the vision of God for you. Embrace the task set up before you. Like the battle of the massive Midianite army, and when you reach your limitations, depend on God and render glory to Jesus. And trust God's way. We're fearful. We don't want to hold our positions. And trust God's way. Go to the edge of the camp. Be encouraged by the words you hear, the promises of God. And follow Jesus. Follow Jesus' way. And like I said, sometimes His way does not make any human sense. But it is the way of victory. Learn what that means. If you just do what's rational, humanly, if you just do things that non-believers would say is always the right thing to do, non-believers would agree with you, and you'll never walk the way of Jesus Christ. I mean, because Jesus says, take the narrow way. Don't go this way, go that way. Follow me. That's why He took the lead, to show us the way of the kingdom of heaven. Follow Jesus. The world will say, don't follow Jesus. Jesus says, follow Jesus. So what are you going to do? I for one, I'm going to follow Jesus. And hopefully all of you can too, and are. Everyone's important here. Everyone's important. There's no missing part. Upcoming events. Well, this Easter to Calvary Christian Church, Easter Sunday, we are going to join the body of Christ here for their Easter Sunday breakfast. You got to bring a little something, and then join their celebration.
2 weeks.
2 weeks. The week after, there's the Easter Bible School at DuPage UBF, April 13th to 15th. Our family is going to be heading off to visit my parents and my sister in Winnipeg. There will be no service here next week. No service here next week. The week after that, where are we going to meet?
Easter.
in the morning, DeKalb Christian Church here. Have breakfast together. Hear Pastor Tom's message. Celebrate Easter together as a church family. Okay? The week after that, we're going to DuPage. For the Easter Bible school. So you got that? Put that in your refrigerator. Also, Summer Bible Conference at Phantom Ranch, Wisconsin, June 30th to July 1st. Yes, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, with DuPage UBF.
Ooh,
African Regional Conferences going on in Uganda, South Africa, and Nigeria in August. And the Middle Eastern Conference going on in August also. Continue to pray for the raising up of 100,000 missionaries in our ministry by 2041, and one-third of the American Sunday attendance to go out as missionaries in America to be kingdom of priests and holy nation.
Amen.
Thank you, Mark.
Wow.
Last week, Pastor Kevin attended the area pastors meeting at Chicago. Four people attended the nurses group Bible study at the hospital, and led by Lori. She was a very good leader. Several high school students at DHS are taking turns stepping up to lead the FCA Christian Fellowship, and Jen is working hard as a literary editor for the annual DHS literary publication, New Pennies, and she received a decision from several different universities, but she's narrowing her choices for her university future, and pray for her to make the right choice. Anything else went on last week? Anything else? James? Studying hard, huh?
Yeah.
Good. And also, James joined our group Bible study, and he's been hooking us up with equipment. This audio recorder, he gave us a great deal on a camcorder, and we're going to start using this for ministry, learning how to communicate with a new generation. So, now Julie's going to come up here and share about upcoming event on Monday. Thank you, Julie. You're all invited to this event if you want to come. Okay, so stay tuned.
Unity in Christ's mission. Tomorrow night, there will be a conversation on Unity in Christ's mission held at the Edmond Chapel in Wheaton College. This is put on by Act 3 Ministries, and the speakers there are Francis Cardinal George, the Catholic Archbishop of Chicago, is going to be speaking with Dr. John Armstrong, the president of Act 3 Ministries. So it sounds like a debate, but it's not a debate. It's a discussion. One is the head of the Catholic Church and one is a prominent Protestant. And Dr. John Armstrong's intent is to build bridges between the Protestant Church and the Catholic Church. Sometimes the Protestant Church seems to throw out the baby with the bathwater, but there's a lot of good Christian history that was being held by Catholics throughout the centuries there, so you would like to take hold of and explore. So this evening of dialogue is to explore the common ground and current challenges that face Catholics and evangelical Protestants in Christian faith and mission, and Pastor Kevin will be attending this tomorrow night. The second half of this on your page is about Act 3 Ministries, what they do. They're an equipping mission, and they want to introduce new paradigms and encourage a new way of thinking and to encourage transformation of church leadership.
Well, thank you very much. Dialogue. Continued dialogue is important. Yes. There's ways of co-working. And we can agree to disagree and still be one together. Okay. So thank you very much. And now a word from our sponsor, Jesus Christ. The Lord's Prayer and the Nicene Creed.